Good morning, Symphony Church. We are continuing in our Lenten devotionals, and today I'll be reading for us Isaiah chapter 40, verses 27 to 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So, I like to generally think of myself as the adventurous type. I love exploring this beautiful city and discovering all of these amazing places and views that I can later share with other people. At the same time, though, I surprisingly really don't like traveling all that much, especially by plane. And I attribute most of this to the summer of 2018, when I flew 10 separate times in a 2-week period. And it was some of the most exhausting moments of my life. And maybe some of you can relate. But I think the worst part of traveling by plane as a Bostonian in particular is getting to and from Logan Airport. I feel like it's this perfect in-between distance from the city proper to where you feel like it's a waste to call an Uber, but at the same time, taking public transit is such a pain. I remember a recent time I actually flew back into Boston on one occasion and I reluctantly decided to take this crazy combination of the Silver Line, the Orange Line, and the 66 bus to get from the airport to my home in Brookline. And I don't know if this is me just venting, but the 66 bus and I are like arch enemies. Literally every single time I have to rely on the 66, it is a whole ordeal with getting delayed and buses just disappearing from their routes and anyway, I recall being just so tired from my flight that night, and I was cold and underdressed for the winter weather, and I remember waiting at that bus stop and just undergoing the most grueling experience. I had to resort to like meditating and picturing myself relaxing on a tropical beach so that I wouldn't think about how much I was freezing. Eventually, at 20 minutes after the bus was supposed to come, I was so fed up with waiting that in my semi-delirious, frostbitten state, I felt that I had to take action. Somehow I came to the conclusion that if I started walking along the bus route, when the bus did come, I would be closer to home and I would end up saving time on my trip. And I don't really know what my logic was then either. And it wasn't until I eventually made it back home and I thawed a bit that I realized that that might not have been my brightest moment. But there's something about waiting, especially waiting in moments of difficulty or tribulation that we find really difficult. Whether it's a bus or a call or an update, if we're left waiting for a long time, we can start to convince ourselves that we are more reliable than whatever we're waiting for when it comes to solving our problems. It can be the most challenging thing sometimes to choose not to take matters into our own hands, to not do anything, and instead to trust in the waiting. But in our passage today, Isaiah tells God's children to do exactly that. He says, they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall not be faint. In this uphill battle we call life, Isaiah tells us that fatigue is inevitable. He says, even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. And isn't this so true? It seems like these days the standard answer to how are you is no longer, oh, I'm good, but oh, I'm tired. I think especially at our church, full of college students studying at top-ranking schools and young adults striving in this career-driven city, it seems like everyone is always running at capacity. But perhaps that's not the best way to go through life. Perhaps God isn't pleased in seeing us constantly tiring ourselves out, trying to eke out fulfillment or progress or even happiness. Perhaps he instead made it so that you and I can constantly be renewed if we wait for him. Two reminders from our passage today that I hope can help us wait for the Lord. First, God sees you and knows exactly where you are. In this battle between waiting versus running, the driving force behind it all is that we want to get somewhere. There's this goal that we're trying to attain, and it's all a matter of choosing the course that'll best get us there. I think often we aren't content with waiting because we don't feel that it brings attention to our situation. There's a passiveness associated with waiting that doesn't really sit well with us. After all, if we're trying to move and to take the next step and to get to where we need to go, we need to be active, right? If we just wait and we do nothing, well, then how are we sure that anyone's going to help us? And Isaiah sees this conundrum in Israel and how they say that their way is hidden from the Lord and that their right is disregarded by God. And Isaiah points this out because I think we need to understand that God sees us, that he's watching carefully. We cannot do anything. We can wait and do nothing, and the Father still knows exactly what we need. That means he knows the emotions you're feeling. He knows the conflicts that you're working through. He knows the ways that you want to serve and the convictions that you have. Even more so than what we know that we need, our Father knows the things we need that we don't know we need. He knows our true purpose in this life, our true calling, our true giftings. He knows exactly how we might be able to live this abundant life that he set before us. And so take comfort in knowing that your situation, that you, all of you, is seen by God. You don't have to take matters into your own hands. He already knows what you need, and he's doing everything he can possibly do. Second, God not only sees you and your needs, but he is a God that can do all things. Isaiah gives glory to the Lord in our passage and says, "The Lord, the Creator, does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable." When it comes to doing and to running, our God is far more capable than we are. He doesn't get burnt out or distracted or fatigued. He can mightily execute his perfect will without missing a beat. He is the absolute best candidate when it comes to relying on someone to be able to get us where we need to be. To wait for the Lord is to trust in a Father that never fails. A Father that shows us time and time again that he's looking out for us and he's inviting us to join him in his plan. You know, I think waiting for the Lord, it actually doesn't look like waiting at all. I think God so brilliantly designed life with him to not be standing still and letting him do everything, but to involve a lot of running together. And the difference is, when we run with him, he gives us power. even when we might faint and we might have no might, he increases our strength to be able to do all that he has made us to do. And today, brothers and sisters, let's not aim to take matters into our own hands. Let's wait for the Lord and find in him a strength that never fades. Let's pray. Lord, we want to not move until you tell us to. We want to just wait for you, to choose to not take matters into our own hands, to not do what we feel like is best for us and try to progress our life the way we want to. But instead, may we draw upon your strength. May we work by your strength. May we study by your strength. May we serve by your strength and love by your strength. And may you be with us, Lord. May you help us through it all. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.